So I'm happy today to talk about impact, ownership, and sustainability of savings and internal lending communities in Haiti. This was a team effort, and I have my co-authors listed here, including Kednel Francois Obeg Desenor, who's here in the audience today, Tony Sella, and Karen Foray. So I have no relationships to disclose. So CHAMP was a USAID-funded community health and AIDS mitigation project implemented by FHI 360, Catholic Relief Services, and International Child Care in Haiti between July 2009 and March 2013. What are savings and internal lending communities? They're user-owned, self-managed savings and credit groups. Groups contribute at each meeting, and these funds create a loan fund for members to be repaid with interest and a social fund to help members with emergency situations. Cycles typically range from 9 to 12 months, and accumulated savings and interest earnings are paid out to members in proportion to the amount that each member contributed throughout the cycle. The CHAMP program worked through community-based organizations, which in turn employed community mobilizers to recruit participants and mentor groups through their one-year savings and lending cycle. Project livelihood officers provided technical support and jointly supervised the community mobilizers with the CBOs. Why this study? This study was commissioned by USAID Haiti with field support, and its aim was to provide information for future savings and lending programs with vulnerable populations in Haiti. Because the study was commissioned after the project had ended, it was designed as a qualitative retrospective assessment. The study was conducted by Palladium under the USAID-funded HIV Core project, which is led by the Population Council. The study had three research questions. Did respondents feel that the Silk Group activities met Silk Group members' needs? Did respondents feel that participation in Silk Groups have an impact on individual, child, and household well-being? And did Silk Groups continue after donor support ended, and why or why not? We conducted in-depth interviews with CRS Haiti staff, community-based organization staff, and community mobilizers, as well as in-depth interviews and focus group discussions with Silk Group members. I'll now review findings from research question one. Overwhelmingly, respondents agreed that access to flexible savings and loans adapted to community needs filled an important service gap in these communities. Respondents also indicated that the Silk Groups were different from other local financial institutions in terms of lower interest rates, the sense of ownership of the Silk Funds, and the fact that the Silk Groups encourage community solidarity and collective action, such as street cleaning or cooperative farming. One Silk member stated, "It finds a way for us to help ourselves. With the little means that we have, that's what I liked about it. We deposit together, it's small, but we create somehow. It's us with our own savings helping ourselves." While a few Silk Group members did not think the social fund was necessary and renamed the social fund the Lost Funds, or Fonds Perdus in Creole, most felt that the existence of the social fund was an important advantage over the other financial institutions. Some Silk Group members reported that the amount of funds available for loans was not sufficient to meet the demand of all group members. Silk Group members also reported that having members who were unable to contribute or repay loans created difficulties for the entire group. It should be noted that the most economically vulnerable community members were not able to participate in the Silk Groups because they were unable to meet the minimum contribution requirements. On the other hand, there was no discrimination against people living with HIV/AIDS who were able to join the Silk Groups and participate as active members as long as they could contribute the minimum amount and attend meetings. One community mobilizer stated, "What helped them was that there was no stigma in the community. This means that persons with the virus as well as those without it join Silk." I'll now review findings for research question two. The majority of Silk Group members reported using their savings, loans, and share-outs from the Silk Group to pay for various things for their household and children. Some described how their participation in Silk allowed them to surmount difficult economic conditions and support their children's schooling. One SOAP member stated, "It allows me to send my children to school. I did not see how I was going to send them to school because certain years things are not good. The harvest is not profitable. For now, SOAP helps me because it helps me get money to put my kids to school." Some SOAP group members reported investing loans in their small businesses and generating additional income, and others reported that the financial management training and access to startup funds helped them create new businesses. One CBO staff member stated, "In that time, you see the number of people whose lives have changed. Some didn't have any means to sell anything. The next day, when the person is running a small business, she can address some needs." However, a few SOAP group members felt that the limited size of the loans prevented them from growing their businesses as much as they would have liked. Now I'll review findings from research question 3. This study provided a unique opportunity to assess SOAP sustainability. Of the 159 SOAP groups formed during the life of CHAMP, 52% were located at the time of the study. 69 groups were still active, either as SOAP or local cooperative. Thus, at a minimum, 43% of the original cohort continued after donor support ended. Members of SOAP groups that continued felt the SOAP groups met their financial needs and were confident in their understanding of the savings group methodology. Likewise, CRS Haiti staff mentioned that the local communities had adopted the methodology and that the existence of community mobilizers at the local level allowed the groups to have continued support so that they could mature and remain active. One CRS Haiti staff stated, "Many groups still do things on their own. I think it is simple. These people are motivated. They know that this is not an NGO project, but something they can do by themselves. That's why they always remain, because they don't depend on someone else external to do something for them." However, some groups did not continue after the termination of CHAMP. Many respondents pointed to the fundamental role of the community mobilizers in supporting the SOAP groups to continue after the end of the project. In fact, members of the 5 sampled groups that had disbanded at the time of data collection reported lack of engagement of their community mobilizers. While it is clear that SOAP groups increase participant savings and access to credit, we could not assess whether household income or asset ownership increased or whether SOAP-supported investments led to child health and education outcomes. It is important to note that while the existing evidence shows that the increased expenditures due to participation in savings and lending groups likely improves food security, the link to concrete health and education outcomes has been tenuous in previous quantitative studies. This study showed that a high proportion of SOAP groups continued even after the termination of CHAMP. Many respondents pointed to the role of the community mobilizer in supporting the SOAP groups to continue after the end of the project. However, some groups did not continue due primarily to the lack of engagement of their community mobilizers, thus pointing to the very important role of the community mobilizer in the sustainability of the groups. At the same time, however, it appears that those groups whose mobilizers continued after CHAMP ended were more likely to function without donor support than groups whose mobilizers discontinued after CHAMP ended. Could it have been that the continued steady assistance provided by the mobilizers created dependency and inhibited the executive committees from gaining the necessary skills and confidence to keep operating on their own? Such a conclusion would be supported by a similar study in Cambodia. This assessment produced important findings that can be used to inform future programming within Haiti and beyond. Programs are already doing many things right, not the least of which is being careful not to stigmatize vulnerable populations. Some of the things they could change include these recommendations for program design and implementation. Programs should provide additional training and support through the first SOAP group cycle, remunerate community mobilizers with cash or in kind, explain the social funds better and address participants' concerns about the utility of social funds from the outset, increase business-related training and community entrepreneurship opportunities, and facilitate linkages of mature SOAP groups to local financial institutions. The full report of this assessment is available at hivcorps.org, and this is my email address if anyone has questions after today. Thank you very much.